So, as I've mentioned before, Thursday nights, it's not just a conversation with a particular ministry leader, as excited as I am for you guys to meet some of these amazing people that we have here at Calvary Chapel Fullerton. But I believe the things that we do as a church, we do because it's part of God's heart for the church. You know, as much as I get to be a pastor, the senior pastor, the head of our church, if you guys don't know, it's actually not Caleb. Jesus said, "And I will build my church." And so we believe Jesus is the head of the church. And we believe that through the power of the Holy Spirit, he works through all of these members to make us into a body. And so when we pray and we say, "Lord, how should we use the resources, our time, our talents, our efforts? Where do we invest these gospel resources into the kingdom?" That's where we focus in terms of these different ministries. We've talked about our connect groups, talked about worship last week. And this week, I'm really excited because Jared has probably been, what, a year and a half, 2 years? I'm trying to think when you and I first kind of started down this path of this conversation. And for those of you guys who don't know, you know, when we started praying about making the transition from the facility that we were using on Chapman, the next step that we thought we were doing was going to be on the campus at Cal State Fullerton. So being a guy who has a heart for the next generation, I mean, having been able to be a part of college ministry and being able to be a part of the Bible college, it was really, you know, kind of on our heart always. Rich had talked about it. We prayer walked it 20-some years ago. Like, man, I want to see what God wants to do. Fullerton is a college town. And so we started praying and saying, well, let's see, is God already working? Is God doing something on Cal State Fullerton? And lo and behold, God was already doing something at Cal State Fullerton. And we started to learn a little bit about this ministry called Revive. And here's this Calvary kid with a passion to see, like, God radically changed the campus and do a work. And he's preaching the gospel and he's connected to a couple of Calvaries already. And we're like, Lord, we need to meet this guy. And so we started just having lunch, meeting up there at Cal State Fullerton. Lo and behold, God saw fit to weave him or weave us into kind of this ministry vision. And we got to get connected to this ministry called Campus Revive, right? I mean, that's still the name.
That's right.
All right. So let me do this. For those of you guys who don't know Jared, I'm going to let him introduce himself. Tell us a little bit about who you are. I mean, you're a local guy. You grew up here in Orange County, connected with a local Calvary, and then somehow, some way, found yourself, you know, there in ministry on the campus at Cal State Fullerton. So, welcome, Jared.
Well, it's a privilege to be here. If we haven't met, that's my name, Jared. And it's fun to reminisce about how God brought us all together. I remember being a student and just doing this ministry as a student. And who knew that in a couple of years we'd be here? So crazy to think about. But yeah, I grew up in Orange County, grew up in a Christian home, and by God's grace, never turned, never strayed. It's always been Christ. But there was a particular moment. I remember coming back from a mission trip to New Orleans, and I don't know, something about it just kind of flipped for me. The switch flipped and the lights came on, and I realized my life is a mission. And it's not just a week in New Orleans, right? It's my public high school. It's my water polo team. And so, yeah, there was an evangelism team from Biola that came and took our Christian club witnessing. And that sounded like something I definitely didn't want to do. But
is when you were in high school at the time?
High school.
Dude.
Yeah, by God's grace, I went. And I remember being, you know, petrified and not wanting to do it at all. But I did. And I remember sitting in my parents' kitchen and just, that was incredible. It was like I had this massive mountain and I climbed it and here we are. This is an incredible view. And so yeah, that was kind of the genesis of evangelism for me. Around that time, I began hearing stories of revival, hearing stories of God's Spirit drawing people to himself and the church just getting fired up. And I wanted a piece of that. So started praying with a teammate from my water polo team just every Wednesday, praying for the team. And those seeds kind of carried into my season as an undergraduate student. So I got involved at a local Calvary evangelism team, started going witnessing at the Block, or the Outlets at Orange, as they're called now. I like the Block better, but that's just me.
That's how I still think of it. It's the Block.
It is. I just started going witnessing, and that became, I was a student at Cypress College, and I'm sitting there one day, and I'm like, I go witnessing on Fridays at the Block. Why don't I do this here? So I started doing it on my campus, and then I transferred to Fullerton, and the thought was, I want to do something for the Lord. I don't want to just get the papers. That's why I'm here, but I don't want to just do that. I want to do something for the Lord. So I got plugged into some Christian community, started a prayer group, and then I had an idea, and that really turned into what this is. The idea was, what if we just got as many Christian students together as we could to pray for revival for an hour? And then, great, we prayed. Let's go and preach for an hour. So we did. When it was all said and done, there was 30 people. 30 people that showed up to pray for revival and preach the gospel. So that was just such a success, and by God's grace, of course, that we just kept doing it. It wasn't 30 people every week, but it was something. It was consistent, and I began asking, what if I just did this after I graduate? And somewhere along the line, we started hanging out, and here we are.
It's amazing what happens with just a simple yes. You know, like, God's looking for that. We sometimes think, like, I got to check all these boxes. I got to get all this, you know, some of these different tools. And then God's looking for people that are willing to say yes. Like, you know, I'll pray. I'll plant the seed. And, you know, that process in your life of those different yeses. And then all of a sudden, he's like, okay, now here's this different opportunity. Were you plugged in? Was Westgrove your home church at the time in terms of Calvary Chapel? That was kind of like the hub that was helping kind of be your covering church, if you will, or for you, you grew up in that Calvary?
You know what? I actually didn't. I didn't grow up in it. Around high school, I grew up in a local church in Cypress. But as the time came for me to graduate, I was looking for a new spot, and I had done ministry with students or friends from Westgrove.
Right.
And it just made sense to start going there. So, yeah, that's kind of the story there. And through that time, it's still just such a great community and great relationships, and met other brothers and sisters in different Calvaries. So, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now, this became like more than just, hey, guys, let's get together and pray. Like, God began to give you a vision for ministry, because it was like, hey, I'm going to do this. What if God's wanting to call other people, and like a heart for discipleship, a heart for raising up, like equipping young leaders? Like, that actually became something that was kind of an outgrowth of like, hey man, let's get together. We'll go pray. We'll go share. But like, hey, if this is going to outgrow me, like at some point I'm going to, you know, leave this campus, or I want to go hit another campus. Like, something that started to come alongside that vision was this heart to disciple, raise up, you know, other people alongside you to do this, right?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think I had a mentor leader in my life at the time who encouraged me to consider, you know, Jared, you're going to graduate. You know, think about who's going to take over. And I, of course, the idea wasn't thinking about, well, I'm just going to keep doing this and pending nonprofit, here we are. But that thought stayed with me. There's that book. I haven't finished it. That's something about making disciples. So maybe it's the Bible. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
just that idea of how much more effective, obviously, to take God's game plan. And it's not just the one-man show, but to pour into others who will then pour into others and so on, the multiplying effect. So, yeah, absolutely.
Now, when did, for you, like, you transferred over to Fullerton, and was there already kind of, what did the Christian ministry scene look like, you know, there on the college campus? Because obviously you worked alongside of a few of them, and then you felt like maybe God was leading you to say, hey, that's good, I want to support that, but you had maybe a particular thing that you said, but like, this is what we want to be all about. This is where we feel like we can fill a need. What did kind of that ministry scene look like, and how did Campus Revive begin to take shape to say, yeah, I felt like this is where God was leading us to be effective, spend our time?
Totally. Yeah, I mean, that's we could talk for a long time about that, but I think to answer your question, that I guess the niche of Campus Revive is this vision of taking students and giving them this vision that your time as a student, is it just that? Or in Christ, are you an ambassador of the gospel? Are you a minister of reconciliation? And is your campus just a college campus, or is it your local mission field where 40,000 students, at least at Cal State Fullerton, 40,000 students from literally all over the world, right? You've got the Middle East and China and Korea, they're all here. So helping a student realize, oh, it's not just about the piece of paper. I have the gospel that could save literally somebody's life for all of eternity. And it feels so intimidating, but it really just, it's as simple as going up to somebody and having a conversation. And yeah.
We say that, but I think for some people, they wonder like, okay, really? Is it that easy? Like, do people really, because I think people in general, like we've seen on the news, like college campus just seems like, in one sense, maybe like a scary place. They have this wild, wild west, like protests and people getting shot down. Like,
totally.
Do you sense though that there's a softness, a willingness, or even an openness still in the college campus, or do you see it really as a contrast? Like the four soils. Like, okay, there's really hard soil. Yeah. You know, people don't want to engage.
Sure.
And then there's like, yeah, some others that are thinking about it, and then you're like, oh, there they go, down the other way.
Yeah. Well, I think the four soils, right? It's all there. And I also think it depends on the campus you're at and the culture of, yeah, obviously that campus. Fullerton, I found a general willingness that if I go up to somebody, and from a human perspective, it's all in how you package it. If I ask somebody, hey, can I talk to you about Jesus? Can I share the gospel with you? A lot of walls are going to go up and they're not interested. But if I package it like, hey, my name's Jared, I'm going around and I'm curious what people believe in. I'm a Christian, but I just want to hear where people are at and share the greatest thing I've ever heard. Do you have a religious background? And all of a sudden we are in this conversation just like that, a couple sentences. So I found that there's a general willingness from students to talk to me if I go that route.
When you and your team kind of train to go out, is there a particular time or window, like, meaning, do you find that, like, all right, guys, we're going to go out at lunch, or we're going to go out, like, how do you find, you know, where you would you say, like, we're going to go talk to these people? It seems like hustle and bustle, man. Everyone wants to get from A to B. How have you guys found it effective to be like, all right, we're going to roll and we're going to share the gospel today here at Cal State Fullerton?
Yeah.
What does that actually look like for you guys?
Yeah, right now it looks like meeting at my apartment Tuesdays, Wednesdays, around 10 or 11-ish, and just walking right over to campus. And
it's cool that you live that close.
Amazing. Yeah, totally God's providence. But yeah, there's so many students that are there that it's like, take your pick. There are plenty that are just kind of on their way, right? But there's so many. So people just sitting around and doing their thing. So we'd never have a shortage.
And I imagine we're living in a time where this culture, this argument culture, if you like, people have really strong opinions about a lot of stuff going on in the world right now, whether it's politics or the medical stuff that's going on, or, you know, things surrounding, you know, racial tension, et cetera. How has that impacted over the last couple of years, either your guys' motivation, your guys' effectiveness? Have you noticed like all this stuff that's going on has made it easier, harder, open doors, closed doors? How's that stuff impacted what you guys are doing on campus?
Yeah, well, that's a question I could really think through, right? But
yeah.
I would say just in terms of the pandemic, yeah, for that first month, it was terrifying to everybody.
Right.
And then, you know, things have gone the way they've gone. But I would say that kind of gave people just a general sense, like, oh, I could die. You know, that could happen. It will happen. And so that was something I would always bring up with somebody when I'm talking to them. And I don't know how true this is, but I've definitely seen glimpses of it for sure, where there's a greater investment now in that conversation. I'd be curious to know how true that is and everybody I'm talking to, but yeah, I would say that for sure.
I mean, you had that heart that you had around that particular, you know, question, it birthed that video kind of message, you know, because that really seemed to be something that was resonating, you know, and sound like God had given you some really specific insight to be like, hey man, like if you just, if today was the last day, you know, but there really did seem to be a sense of people's own questioning their mortality and that idea of like, what if I wasn't here? I mean, this was stirring up a lot of those kind of questions for, when I say young people, I just, young adults, like these guys are, they normally think they're indestructible.
Right.
And this has brought them face to face. And I imagine that opened up some doors for people to maybe listen where, you know, before they were like, yeah, I don't need to think about that.
Yeah. And I would say to a large extent, that's still true. So much apathy and, you know, whatever, just going through life. I don't really think about these things. But it's interesting that once that question's out there and they're thinking, I don't know if I would get to heaven, you know, then it's kind of a change in the convo. So,
One of the things that I fell in love with really early when you and I started talking about ministry, ministry vision, how, you know, it really came to us as a church saying, look, we want to get behind. We want you to help be a part, kind of shepherd, kind of our college ministry. I think we talk a little bit about people wanting the fruits of revival, but very few people are willing to invest in the roots of revival. And for you, really early on, one of the things that has kind of been a primary for your guys' ministry is like, is prayer, right? Like saying, if we're going to ask God to move, you know, the revival begins in us. It's like that Nehemiah moment of like, whatever great move of God is going to begin in me. And I saw that really early on, that your guys' commitment, you know, was like, hey, we're going to meet on these days. We're going to pray. We're going to study. We're going to get real with God. Let God kind of break in and through us. And then whatever's going to happen, you know, outside of that, you know, we're going to go plant the seeds. But that has always kind of seemingly been a primary part of your guys' vision of like, man, we want to see God work in us and be really diligent in prayer. How did that, has that just always been something that was a part of your ministry vision of like, man, we want to pray, we want to go deep in terms of rich discipleship and then like this outreach part of it?
Yeah, I think, yeah, over the years, talking about my high school years and just, it's been very impressed upon my mind, my heart, that prayer is essential. Prayer is powerful. And just these, you look at revival history and many people have pointed out, prayer seems to be like the constant thing that's there. And God's about to do some crazy work. He gets his people praying. And for me, the go-to example of that is the layman's prayer revival in our country, which, you know, it's not really common knowledge, but it's just incredible. You have Cincinnati and Philadelphia and New York, different Christian movements of prayer. They don't even know each other. And yet there's these seismic groups of people, like in the thousands, meeting to pray. And I think of that and I'm like, wow, thousands of Christians coming to pray. That's incredible. But you put it into perspective, population back then, it's like 28 million. For us, like, you know, 330, something like that, right? So thousands would still be insane.
Right.
But back then, it's like a harvest crusade, right? Like, it's just seismic. And they don't even know each other. It's just happening. When it's all said and done, there's something like a million people professing faith in Christ that weren't doing so previously. And it just seems like prayer was a key to that and in many other examples. So for me, looking at Fullerton, okay, 40,000 students and a place where so much anti-God ideology is glorified and taught, what are we going to do? Well, we have weapons that God has given us and prayer primary. So,
And out of that, out of that prayer ministry, you know, because obviously you guys pray for revival on campus, pray for open doors, and we can get into the different miracles of how God has, you know, helped direct you guys and get you even in the apartment that you're at right now and the ministry team and just even getting you back on campus. But one of the other things that seems to be birthed out of this heart for prayer has really been this passion for God's heart, for life. You know, the in a culture of death, this passion for life, like to be like, dude, God loves you. God loves, you know, the next generation. He wants to work. But this whole really big topic of like pro-life and all that kind of stuff has, you know, really been a burden for you over the last couple of months. So much so that it's kind of opened up another facet of your guys' ministry, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about how God has kind of moved your heart, given you a burden, you know, for this and kind of what's happening within the Campus Revive, you know, family. What's that part of ministry looking like for you guys?
Yeah, as I said, I grew up in the church, so I've always had, you know, an understanding of that issue. But something flipped. It was, yeah, last year. Seth Gruber, I don't know if you're familiar with him, but just a phenomenal pro-life speaker. And I just got, somebody sent me one of his messages, and I was just, you know, whoa. I know all that, like, in a sense. Like, I know that that's true, and I should be doing something, but what am I doing? One of the most eye-opening things I've done, I don't know, in recent history for my life, is going on my iPhone and going on the Maps app and typing in Planned Parenthood and just looking up as location after location in my local context pops up, and I'm realizing I live 20 minutes from a death center. What am I doing about that? What is the church doing about that? So there was one moment I was so overwhelmed with this is happening every day. I need to do something. I just felt God was leading me to literally get up the next day and take a Lyft. My car was out of commission, so I literally took a Lyft and just got dropped off at Planned Parenthood. And I'd never done this before, but I'm just walking in faith, and it was just incredible. So I've been going weekly. We did an event for God for Life. I remember announcing that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, ever since that, the fruit of that has been a weekly time where myself and maybe a friend or two will go and just plead with women and, you know, plead with them to make the right choice, and through that to share the gospel.
So if someone's watching right now, they're trying to piece together some of the stuff that you and I are talking about. What does Campus Revive look like? Maybe, you know, some of the people watching either have kids in college, or maybe we've got campus guys on campus right now that are watching me like, whoa, wait, Calvary Fullerton's got a college ministry. Like, how do I get plugged in? What does that look like? What is happening right now, kind of on a weekly basis? If people were looking to get fellowship, get plugged in, they hear about Planned Parenthood, we drop the block. Like, what does some of this ministry look like right now on a weekly basis? As some of these people were like, man, I want to be praying for Jared. We love that. We want to be supporting our college ministry. Like, what does Campus Revive look like right now for you as a campus pastor, a college pastor?
Yeah, so every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, from 1 to 2, we're praying over Zoom for revival. So that's one avenue. The other is evangelism, Tuesday, 11 a.m., and Wednesday, 10 a.m., and the time's interesting anyway. Tuesday, 11, we meet at the apartment, we walk over, go witnessing for an hour-ish. And then Fridays is Planned Parenthood, 10 a.m., we go and do that, and then the block at 6. So those are all outlets, avenues to get involved.
Every week, like, yes. Just people who are like, okay, I thought I wanted to do it this week, but I didn't miss it, right? There's another on-ramp every single week for people to either be praying or come out and get involved. And if people want to get a little bit of equipping, maybe they feel a little nervous about some of these things. Is some of what happens on Zoom when you guys get together and pray and build some relationship, do you do some of the outreach and evangelism training like separate, or is that kind of part of what's happening when people are getting together on Zoom, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I think the philosophy we've taken as of now is show up, and the pressure's not on you, right? You can partner up with me and just kind of watch, and you don't have to feel the pressure. I think for me that was big when it was my first time.
Right.
Is the leader that took me, and I just watched and went, oh, I can do that. Just watch what they say, and oh, okay. And that was that. So that's kind of how we've done it. I was hanging out with a student who hadn't done it in America.
Yeah.
And just watched, and eventually by the end of the day, they were starting the conversation. So
just kind of pause for a moment, because for those that are just getting introduced, they're like, man, oh yeah, Calvary Fullerton's got this college ministry, and it's Campus Revive, and God's doing these cool things. Although there's some new outlets to that, you know, Planned Parenthood, that kind of stuff. This discipleship process has been going on for the last couple of years. Like, one of the young guys that kind of got plugged in and was serving alongside just now finished like an internship program. God's launching and moving him, you know, in a new season of ministry, partly because of like this relationship, being able to have, you know, a place for fellowship, a place to seek God, you know, while just getting his degree, you know, at Cal State Fullerton. Any little testimonies, things that come to mind that you would want the people to hear to be like, yeah, God really is using these relationships, these conversations, like they're having an impact.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think at, in a ministry like this, we often we're in the seed throwing business, and we don't always see the fruit. But one of the ways we do see the fruit is those that come in and stick with it and grow in witnessing. And I mean, Adam is guy number one to talk about that with. 2019, I'm a senior; it's my last semester, and Adam is on this new. He had been in the church, but wasn't really there with the Lord, maybe a little lukewarm and going through some hard things, but God had just fired him up. He was back. And right around then, God brings him into my life. And he had maybe, I think he would say he had shared the gospel maybe here and there with some people in his life. But in terms of going up to somebody and starting that, right, like that's not happening. And yet now, fast forward a couple of years, he would say he shared with hundreds, or you know, I don't know what number he'd say, but yeah, more than 100. And that's just amazing to know Adam, to know who he is,
right,
and to see that, wow, he could start a gospel conversation at the block at Fullerton in Mexico, right,
yeah,
which is where he was doing that mission school. So for me, that's the tent. Like I can see that, and that's priceless.
For me overseas, working in that same dynamic, young people coming over, whether it was a summer, you know, or even with the Bible college, you know, I think we underestimate, as God said, hey, I want you to wait until you receive power, you know, to be a witness. Like there's something when we step out in faith and share our faith that we begin to see this, like there's an ability to do what I didn't think that I was capable of doing, whether we were out doing music or we would do sometimes skits and then just start a conversation. I would be so amazed how every couple of weeks, these kids who had never shared the gospel, you know, having gospel conversations, having gospel interactions, experiencing either this work of the Holy Spirit, this ability to like, wow, I was talking to that person and that person was crying and then I'm crying and then this person got saved. Like, and just, it was always the Lord. I mean, there was no methodology. There were tools that we learned culturally, like how to be sensitive, like try to avoid putting your foot in your mouth or getting in an argument. Like, Spirit's not working in that, you know? But like you said, to be able to see God transform someone through those little steps of obedience, like God wants us to be engaged in these gospel conversations and the people he's put in our lives. Like this is something that God is longing, desiring, and he's given us in his Holy Spirit to do that. And it feels like when we unlock that, we tap into something really powerful that's on God's heart. And you've been watching this little campus by campus, conversation by conversation, just these little moments, little sparks, little seeds, you know, of revival. When you think about revival and you kind of teach it as you go through, you know, some of your small groups and hey, and you're trying to cast vision, like biblically, like, hey, this isn't just Jared's, you know, 2021 ministry vision for revival. Like, hey guys, this is God's heart. It's been God's heart from the beginning. Anything that you would want to share as maybe some of the people that are listening might be going like, what is that actually, like, what does revival really like mean? What are we, I hear that word thrown out there. Like, what are we actually praying for when we're praying for revival? Like, what does that look like to pray for?
Yeah, I think of the men that talk about they're upset with Paul. And they say these men have turned the world upside down. That's their reputation. They've come into different cultures and contexts, and everything's upside down because of the message of Jesus Christ. I think of King Josiah. Judah, totally swamped in idol worship and the most disgusting of things. And then comes King Josiah, and he starts seeking God, and then the book of the law is found. That's crazy. They lost the book of the law, and it's rediscovered, and it just fires up this repentance, and Josiah goes on a righteous rampage, knocks down the idols, and turns the heart of the people back to the Lord. At least in outward, and then they go right back. But that kind of moment where it's all dark and then the light of the gospel comes in, or the light of the Spirit of God comes in and just turns a culture upside down. To me, that's revival. Different people use that word to talk about different things. I just think of the church getting fired up to obey God, serve Him missionally, and the larger culture being drawn to that message of hope.
Mm. I mean, right now you got all the tools in your toolbox, you know, got the degree, got the world ahead of you. You probably could stick the key in the door and try to open up all kinds of different doors in terms of like, this is the season where everybody's thinking career and family and, you know, but you have felt pretty strongly, pretty passionately, like living missionally to be like, this is where I need to be in this season of my life. Yep. I'm sure parents and other people have been like, Jared, so what are we going to, but like you have really the last couple years of your life kind of dedicated to say like, this is my career, more than that, my calling. Do you sense, is it a matter of a sense of urgency? Do you feel like God just kind of spoke this to you? Like, this is where I need you at this time, at this place for a particular, like what really compelled, motivated you to be like, you know, this is where I want to stay and do this. I mean, because like you said, we were graduating college. You've got all these different things and examples where you could have gone on and been doing other jobs and careers, but like you are currently a local missionary living like churches like us that support you so that you can do full-time campus ministry,
yeah.
You know, doing this. What is it that you feel like God's just impressed, compelled you to be like, this is why someone needs to be doing this? Like there's a real need, an opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah, I think biblically it's the Great Commission, obviously, to make disciples, and that's not just the pastors and the evangelists. That's the Christian life, is to make disciples. And Christianity is a team sport, as I heard one pastor talking about the other day. Christianity is a team sport, and we've all got our position to play. So whatever position that is, that's the job, though, is to make disciples. That's my life. That's every Christian's life. So realizing that, my life is a mission. I am an ambassador of the gospel in whatever I do. And then specifically, there was a moment, I think it was 2016, it was at a summer camp, and this guy, Mark Spence, vice president of Living Waters, came and spoke, and it was just such a powerful moment for me. I felt called to ministry after that. And then walking that out, okay, I feel called to ministry, what do? I got involved in that evangelism group I was talking about. And I think just walking in that, honestly, I think, whoa, looking around, oh, this is what I love doing, and I feel God has gifted me to do it to some capacity, and let's just keep doing it. So, yeah, I think just taking steps of faith from God's commands, and okay, let's run.
One of the things that we talked about a few minutes ago, I mean, those of us that have had the opportunities to go in, travel, go to other places in the world, we're like, man, got to go reach the ends of the earth. But I think people sometimes forget, especially Fullerton, which is a, I mean, this is a college city. We've got more colleges than just Cal State Fullerton. But Cal State, Fullerton is the largest of the Cal States, like in California. Mm. Like this is a hub globally, culturally, but at the same time, spiritually, there is a great need. Like Paul walking into Athens or Ephesus or Corinth, like when you go out to share the gospel, when you walk on the campuses and you sense a burden or brokenness, what do we need to know as prayer warriors that are praying alongside you, as people that are wondering, like, all right, you know, it's like, is this an effective use of our time to be out on the college campuses? Like, yeah, like this is a mission field. What are people dealing with right now on these college campuses? What are you experiencing as you encounter sometimes the hard soil, the people that are maybe, like you said, some are dealing with loneliness, isolation, suicide. They got all the different world telling them how to satisfy everything they're thinking and feeling. Like, what are you seeing out there in the world that tells you, man, like now is the time like never before, sure, that we need to reach these campuses?
Yeah, I mean, whatever problem or sin or philosophy of empty tradition we can think of, it's all there. I mean, the campus is ground zero for ideas, right? And how ideas get distributed to the whole culture. So whatever it is, whether it's people struggling with anxiety or loneliness or the LGBT community or whatever, it's all there. But if I were to put just like, this is the one thing, there's just a general acceptance that whatever makes me happy, that's what I want. So whether it's this or, that's it. So an apathy to thinking about it at all, and just an acceptance of, whatever floats my boat, that's what I want. That's what I want to sail in. So, I think praying that God would knock down that idol and help people to realize, wait a minute, I'm not a good person. Pretty much everybody seems to think that. And knocking down those ideas, I'm a good person. Life is, I'm in my own destiny or whatever. I'm not thinking about the afterlife, all that. Just a general sense of I'm God. I'll pick whatever I want.
Yeah. And not to pick on any of these other ministries. We're not comparing ourselves to anybody else. My point is, though, it seems like, at least from the outside looking in, that in the war for souls, the enemy has some serious strongholds on these college campuses, and the church is kind of quiet. Like, meaning there's not a lot of what you're doing out there on campus right now. Is there? I mean, do you see an outgrowth of other Christian ministries and people planting seeds and doing this? Or do you sometimes get that Elijah moment like, Lord, am I the only one? Like, is there, like, are we seeing it growing? Are we seeing more, other ministries that are like, hey, let's do this? Or are we seeing kind of like, it's almost like we've ceded ground a little bit on the campuses, or people are like, oh, it's going to be too hard, or we won't be able to do it. Like, are you?
Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of brothers and sisters ministering on college campuses by God's grace and doing great things for God. So I wouldn't want to say that Campus Revive has a monopoly on evangelism and decide. That's not at all. If anything, we're coming in and taking our place in the ranks of faithful people that have been doing that for a long time. I would say, though, that sometimes there does feel like the men of Issachar, they had an understanding of the times. Sometimes it feels like many Christian ministers or laborers don't understand the times we're living in and some of the philosophies that are coming out of the campus that we should be combating as ministers of the gospel. Instead, we're compromising and adopting.
That's a good word. I like that picture with Issachar. So as we're landing the plane here a little bit, fast forward with me for a minute. Dream a couple of years further. Where would you like to see in a couple of years Campus Revive be? What are some things that are on your heart as you're praying, not just today, but over the next couple of years? Like, Lord, this is what is on my heart. You believe on God's heart for the ministry, seeing how it's growing and developing. What are some things that we can be praying alongside of you about for that?
Absolutely. Our doors would open for our ministry to connect with the larger body of Christ, and that more students would catch this vision of praying for revival, preaching the gospel, and giving up time to do that, making time to do that. That there would be a thriving prayer ministry Monday through Thursday covering Cal State Fullerton, and the same with evangelism. People could also be praying for our Planned Parenthood ministry. It is a tough work. That's the hardest part of my week, I think, is getting out there and fighting against the stigma and the spiritual warfare of it all. And just, this is my job. This is what I'm here for. So prayers for strength. And I think love above all things. Love, zeal, spiritual grit, and we'll see what happens.
What if someone's listening and they're not quite in that college age, but they're like, this sounds awesome. Like, I'd love to get a little more confident in, going out on a college campus and sharing, or maybe they're really intrigued about going out one day and seeing what's happening at one of the Planned Parenthoods. Is that something that you're open to? I mean, walking on a college campus really is a broad range. There's people that go back to school, but in general, would there be an openness if other people who are watching, other ministry leaders who are like, man, that'd be kind of cool to come alongside? Is that an open invitation?
Sure, absolutely. And I'm never going to tell somebody you can't come preach the gospel,
So, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. We would love that.
Very cool. So let's just restate it one more time for someone who's again, watching, we have maybe some new people that are there on campus, maybe some people are even connected to other campuses. But since you're on Zoom, what is the – I mean, granted, we've got it on the app. We've got it on the website. So if somebody watching wants the Zoom link, text the church, 714-879-3314. And we'll also get you in touch with Jared because you – follow up, do discipleship. You've met with some of the people, you know, that have come and got connected, got involved in Zoom and praying. But we can get people that link. But what again, for people watching, are the ways that they could get plugged in, connected, say, hey, I want to get more involved in this ministry. So you've got weekly Zoom, yep. Right?
Yep. So weekly Zoom, Monday through Thursday, 1 to 2. And I'll just throw this out there too. Maybe pray about starting one. You know, maybe just gather your, what is it, your connect group
or yeah.
Whatever, and just taking some time to pray for the campus. We don't want to put an age on who can pray for Cal State Fullerton, right? Let's get the body of Christ praying for that school, for our generation. So, yeah, Monday through Thursday, 1 to 2, Zoom prayer. Tuesday, Wednesdays, 11 and 10 a.m., we go witnessing. And Fridays, Planned Parenthood 10 in Westminster. And then the block at 6.
That's awesome. So again, guys, I want to be encouraging you to be praying. Pray for open doors. Pray for Jared and the team that are getting together each week. Pray that God would raise up, you know, young people who are stirred up for these things, who others would begin to see this work and be drawn and say, what is it that God is doing through you guys there? Because we are in a time, you know, where I believe that Jesus is coming back soon. And the question is, what did we do with what we were given? And we're seeing the world's fighting super hard for their hearts and minds. And would to God that through prayer, through evangelism, through the way we're living our lives, you know, we are working just as diligent. You know, he who wins souls is wise, Scripture says. Well, let's do this. Would you close us out in prayer tonight? Pray for our church and for this ministry that God has put on your heart with Campus Revive that we are super excited to be partners in and seeing what God is doing through you.
Let's do it. Father, it's such a privilege to be a Christian and to be in partnership with your people. What a joy. Lord, there are people watching that I haven't had the privilege of meeting, and yet you know every hair on their head and have a wonderful plan for their life of service and ministry. I pray, God, that this time would be an inspiration for Calvary Chapel Fullerton, that your people, whatever position they're called to play, would pray and would pray diligently, like Paul. Paul told us to be devoted in prayer, to continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Lord, I pray that we would pray without ceasing, that it would just be the constant thing we're doing. And I pray that prayer would mark this church and your people here. Lord, I pray that we would be faithful with your gospel, faithful to make disciples. Lord, we pray that Cal State Fullerton would be ground zero for a new revival, for the great awakening of our time. We long for that. We know that you're God, you're sovereign, you do what you want to do, and yet you desire that none should perish. Mm. And we know that as we have a heart to see people saved, how much more the God who died that men might be saved. And so we ask that they would. We ask that you would send revival, and that you would continue to bless this ministry and this partnership, this church, and all for your glory, God, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we are, like I said, really excited. We believe that things are just beginning, you know, for the great things that God has in store for Cal State Fullerton and for what God wants to do through us. So be praying. We've got a heart to see future events, future opportunities. So whether getting plugged in weekly with Jared and the team, maybe you've got some connections, relationships. I know we've got people that either work there or connected there. Maybe just knowing that some of these things are happening. Think, oh man, we should connect Jared with. We'll reach out, let us know. There's even a missions trip opportunity coming up right around the corner, right? That we can be praying for. Is this happening in the fall? Is it happening in the summer? What's the next mission trip opportunities that you guys have coming up?
First ever Campus Revive mission trip. We're going to Utah January 9th to 14th is the tentative plans, and right into the heart of Mormonism and preaching the gospel, praying for revival, doing a college tour is kind of the vision, BYU and Weber State and wherever else. So
Love it. Love that you are like Paul, like, let's just go knock on the devil's doorstep. Let's go take some ground, plant some seeds, see what the gospel wants to do. Well, Jared, we're proud of you. We're praying for you. We're so grateful to partner with you. So again, if you have questions for Jared, if you're wanting to get in touch with them, you can connect with the church, 714-879-3314. Just tell us you're trying to get in contact with Jared. Go on the app. His info is there. You guys can get connected with the college group. We would love to invite you to come be a part, come connect, come see what God is doing. All right, guys. Well, we will see you again on Sunday morning, either 9 o'clock or come in person, 11 o'clock as we meet there right on the kind of the campus of Cal State Fullerton at the Marriott as we continue to pray and see what God has in store for Fullerton. God bless. We'll see you guys soon.